turn to the Word of God. Maybe just read the Word of God now, actually. It's found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, and starting to read at verse 19. Well-known story, well-known portion of Scripture, something that's relevant, something that's not spoken about a lot. I don't actually know why, because it's the Word of God, and all the Word of God is relevant. But starting to read at verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar, named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us, you and I, there's a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, in case they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one who rises from the dead. Amen. I'm going to be looking at this portion of Scripture this morning, and we associate this portion of Scripture with a gospel message. But I want to come at it from a two-pronged approach this morning. Yes, there's a gospel message in this, and we're going to be looking at that first, but there's also a very important message to those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. There's a great lesson in this for you and I. We all know what a parable is. Does anybody want to venture a guess as to what a parable is? Come on. Unearthly? Amen. You see, I remember that from Sunday school, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And the Bible, Jesus talks quite a bit in parables, so he does. And he explains some of the parables to the disciples because they don't understand what's going on. But this particular parable here is very, very easy to understand. This parable is self-explanatory, and it's not complicated. It's very simple, and there's a direct message in this parable for anyone who wants to hear it. Now, any of you who know me will know that I don't preach a lot on this type of thing. I believe in it. I believe the Word of God teaches it very clearly. I have preached on it in the past, but I also believe that God is a God of love and grace and mercy, and God's desire is that nobody should perish. The Word of God tells us that, and yet it's very important to look at the whole of the Word of God. And sometimes we need to be reminded of the consequences of neglecting God, neglecting what the Word of God says. And I want us to look at this parable from these two perspectives today. So sometimes we don't understand that there are two perspectives in life. There's a God, there's a heaven, and there's a hell. And we sometimes don't differentiate between the two groups of people. The Bible again makes it very clear that there are people who are born again of the Spirit of God, and there are people who are not born again of the Spirit of God. There are people who are saved, and there are people who are not saved. And this is exactly what the Bible teaches. And we either believe that or we don't believe it. And Jesus was talking to this group of people here, and these people were religious people. Most of them around and about him at this point in time were Pharisees, and they were religious people, people who should have known better. And he talks to these men and women about this rich man and this poor man. Now, I don't believe that the money or lack of it had anything to do with the final outcome of this story. I don't believe that for one minute. But Jesus is simply making a comparison here between two different people, two different individuals, but in some ways, two different groups of people. One person in this story obviously had a faith in God, obviously knew about a relationship with God, and the other person in this story didn't have a relationship with God. The rich man, we're told, he was very rich. He had purple clothes and fine linen, and that was an indication of his wealth and his well-being. And to him, life was just a daily feast and a daily party. The poor man, on the other hand, sat outside the rich man's gate and was even looking for the crumbs of his table because he had absolutely nothing. So I want us to look at a number of things from this parable this morning, as I say, that apply to those who know Christ and also to those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the scripture makes it very clear that death will come to us all. Every single person in this room, every single one of us, at some point will pass from this scene of time into eternity. Our lives will come to an end. We will leave this scene of time and we will pass into eternity. And you see, many people believe that, well, when you die, that's it, all over. That you just die, you drift away. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that there's an eternity. The Bible teaches that the soul will live on. Our body will remain in decay, and that's absolutely true. But Jesus himself says that the soul lives on. The thief on the cross, both men were dying. The Lord Jesus Christ was dying, and the man beside him was dying. And yet Jesus was able to say to this man, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So that's a perfect indication and a perfect truth that there's life after death, that whenever you die, you will go into this new place, into paradise. Later on, he says that later on, it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 8, it says, we're told, for the believer to die, he or she may be absent from the body, but present with the Lord. So the moment a believer dies, they are straight into the presence of Almighty God for all eternity. What a tremendous thought. What an amazing thing for us to know today. We read here about Lazarus. Lazarus died. And he was carried by the angels. I love this. He died, this poor man who had nothing. He died and he was lifted and carried by the angels into the presence of God, into Abraham's bosom. And yet we read about the rich man. He died. Nothing. It says he was buried. No angels. No escort. So firstly, I want to, for a moment or two, focus on the rich man. Can you imagine how he must have felt? Because he still had feelings in hell. First thing is this, he could see into heaven. He could see from his place into the presence of God. He could see into heaven. And what torment that must have been. He was able to communicate with Abraham in heaven. He was able to talk to him. He says, "Have mercy on me. I am tormented in this flame." He felt that even a drop of water in the tip of Abraham's finger would be enough to satisfy his thirst. He was crying out for mercy. But folks, the reality is that it was too late. It was too late. We're told little about this man, other than the fact that he was very rich. We don't know whether he was a bad man or a good man, actually. I assume, you sort of naturally think he was a bad man, but we're not told that. But we know he was a non-caring man. We know that he didn't care for people around him. We know that he didn't care for the poor man sitting outside his gate. But there's a very clear message that we do sense from this man's life. We know that he had no relationship with God. We know that he'd rejected God. If he had accepted God, he would have been in Abraham's bosom. But the very fact that he was in hell shows us that during his lifetime, he had rejected God. He had rejected a relationship with God. So the challenge to us is today, what do we do? You see, hell will be full of some really good people. Men and women who are kind, men and women who are giving, men and women who are religious, men and women who go to church, men and women who maybe even teach in Sunday school. It will be full of really good people. And on the other hand, heaven will be filled with some really bad people. In heaven, there will be murderers. There will be adulterers. There will be people who just stole and who just lived bad lives. So how can that be? How can a good person be lost and a bad person go to heaven? And the answer is very, very simple, because the only thing that takes a man or a woman into a lost eternity, that's not what they did, that's not how they lived. The only thing that takes a man or woman into a lost eternity is rejecting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because for those of us who accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we will go straight into the presence of God. None of us, me, I am not good enough to get to heaven on my own. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. I had to trust him as we have to trust him. And by trusting him, we're not only accepted as part of his family, but we will also get to spend eternity with him. Secondly, about the rich man, he could remember. He could remember his family. I found that interesting that he could remember his family to the point where he wanted Abraham to send somebody back from the dead, go send Lazarus back from the dead and let him know that this is a place of torment, that this is a terrible place. Abraham rightly said they neglected to hear the prophets. They didn't listen to the word as the word was preached to them. They didn't listen to what God was saying. Sometimes, folks, we don't listen. For many years, I didn't listen. And maybe you're here this morning, or you're maybe listening online. Maybe you have heard the word of God. Maybe you go to church. Maybe you're a good person. Maybe you're all those things, but you're hearing, but you're not listening. And it's listening makes the difference. It's accepting Christ that makes the difference. He couldn't leave there. See, there was no possibility of him leaving that place once he had been into that lost eternity. He was there for eternity. In fact, that's over 2,000 years ago, and he's there to this day and still has eternity to go. Some folks say, oh, I do believe in God, but I believe in God my own way. That's not going to cut it. That doesn't cut it. Some people say, I have a relationship with God, but him and I work it out together. The reality is that there's only one way to believe in God, and that is through a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you don't know Jesus, please get to know him. Listen, good people in here, some good people. Some of you come to church every week. I don't know half of you. You come to church every week, but you maybe don't know Jesus. Get to know him. He's a God of love and grace and mercy. He's not interested in our religion. He's not interested in our good living. He's interested in a relationship with you. So I want to challenge the believers at this point. If we truly believed in God, if we truly believed the Word of God and what the Word of God teaches, I don't think we would spare anything to tell people about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I truly believed that my unsaved mother, father, brother, sister, best mate didn't know Jesus, I would hold back at nothing to tell them about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But isn't it true that sometimes, even as Christians, even as evangelical Christians, we become complacent in our relationship with God. We become complacent in what God is saying to us. I have done that in the past. I have missed opportunities of sharing my faith simply because I'm thinking, well, sure, that person knows I'm a believer. Sure, I work with him. Sure, he knows I've trusted Jesus Christ. But have I ever actually told him about the love of God? Sadly, I would have to confess today there have been times in my life when I have missed that opportunity. Or there's a good one. I was waiting for the opportunity. Listen, there's always an opportunity. There's always an opportunity. You can always... I have found, and funny, Trevor and I were just talking about this between services. Whenever you're talking to people, people just talk to you about God. I very rarely have to open up a conversation about God. People just talk to you about God. But we need to be in that place where we can hear what God's saying. Now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not talking about pushing the gospel down somebody's throat. I'm not talking about forcing people into a relationship with God. I don't think that works. Personally, I don't do that. I think it's a bad idea. But I do share the Holy, I do share the Word of God with people whenever the Holy Spirit nudges me. And you who are saved this morning will all know what I'm talking about here. How many times in your life, in your Christian life, have you sensed the Holy Spirit giving you a wee nudge? Go on, talk to that person. Go on, share with that person. Go on, pray with that person. Ask that person, do they need prayer? And I'm sure every single one of us in here would have to confess that there have been times when that has actually happened. And I would say that has happened to me, but I would also have to say that there have been many times when I have turned my back on that still small voice, not listened to that voice, and just made some excuse like I didn't get the opportunity or the opportunity didn't come up. And I walk away and I feel God yet again. That wee opportunity to talk to somebody. And I learned a very valuable lesson a number of years ago. I was driving to a prayer meeting. I was going to a prayer meeting. And as usual, I was running late. And I was driving through the town. And this was the time the bandstand used to have the three flower pots. Do you remember the bandstand had the three flower pots? And it was about 10:08 at night, and the prayer meeting was 8 o'clock, and I had another 6-7 miles to go, and I was late. And as I drove past the bandstand, sitting on one of the flower pots was a man who I knew. A man who had a drink problem. A man who I had witnessed to a number of times. Some of you will remember reading this in the paper. I had talked to him a number of times. But on this night, as I drove past the bandstand, I caught a glimpse of him, and God spoke to me and says, go and speak to Oliver. And I thought, looked at my watch, and I thought, I'm going to be late. I'm going to be late for the prayer meeting. And I kept on driving, and again, God says, go around the town, go and speak to Oliver. And I thought, no, I'm going to a prayer meeting. This is the devil trying to confuse me. I'm going to a prayer meeting. I'm going to be late. I don't want to be late. I'll just leave it. And here was the valuable lesson I learned that night to my shame. That night, not very long after I passed Oliver, Oliver died on top of the flower pots. He passed away. Now, can you imagine how I felt the next morning when I heard that news? Can you imagine the condemnation that was in my heart? The very fact that I had spoke to him many times previously actually was all washed away. It didn't matter at that point in time, because here is what was happening. I had an opportunity. I was urged by the Holy Spirit to speak to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't take it. And for him, it was too late. And I vowed that day that I would never, ever let that happen again. And I sincerely hope I have never made that mistake again. Folks, whenever the Holy Spirit urges you, you know, sometimes somebody comes into your head and you think, I'll send them a wee text. And you don't do it. And you're talking to them 2 days later and they say, oh, on Monday morning I was in really bad form. I could have done my wee word from God, and you're standing there beating yourself up. I didn't do it. Whenever the Holy Spirit urges you, do what God asks you. And I want to finish with this. I want us to finish with Lazarus. Because, you know, just as that rich man has been in hell for the last 2,000 years, Lazarus has been in the presence of God. Lazarus is rejoicing in the presence of God. He is in God's holy presence. He knows exactly what's happening today. He is enjoying everything that God has for him. He is enjoying the worship, the work, whatever else is going on there. He is enjoying that because at one point in his life, he had trusted God. He had allowed God into his life. He had decided to follow God. And as a result of doing that, his reward is in heaven and eternity with God. And what a hope that we have as believers this morning. What a tremendous hope that we have whenever we pass from this scene of time into eternity. John's Gospel, chapter 14, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. Isn't that amazing? For his children, he has a place prepared for us, but only for his children. For those who accept him, not for those who reject him. Lazarus is in that place. What a blessing. But the challenge to the unsaved today is that you need Christ. You need Jesus Christ in your life. Not just to get to heaven, but to have a life here that's worth living. And this life, Jesus says, I will give you joy unspeakable, full of glory. We have a tremendous life as believers. But the hope is that we get to heaven. But for those of us who are saved, let's proclaim the word of God. Psalm 96, it says, sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among the people. We can do that. We can become so excited and so enthralled by the word of God that we want to share our faith. Some people find evangelism very difficult. I found evangelism very difficult until I realized there's actually a way to do it that's non-threatening and a way to do it that's possible for every man and woman to do. Over the last 2 years or a year and a half, we've tried to start a wee evangelism course in here, and it's called Telling Your Story. Telling your story. And it's a simple form of how we can share our faith with other people. And I hope we'll be able to get it started because we're coming out of COVID thing. But it's exciting to be able to share. It's exciting to be able to talk to people about Jesus. But it's not only exciting, it's necessary. God has given us a privilege of being able to do that. If you know Christ today, don't hold back. Let people know that Jesus Christ lives in you. And if you don't know Jesus, I would ask you that you would seriously consider giving your heart, your life, yourself, your very being into a relationship with the living God, not just for here, but for eternity. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you this morning for your presence with us. I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you that your word makes it clear what we need to do to come into that relationship with you. That, Lord, that it's not about religion. It's not about going to church. It's not about any of those things. It's about a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray this morning, Lord, for those who don't know you, maybe somebody in this building, maybe somebody listening on the internet, I pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit will speak into their hearts. That your Holy Spirit will reveal himself to that person. That they will see Jesus Christ as being a Lord and a Savior. I pray you will challenge them. I pray you will draw men and women, boys and girls, into a relationship with you. And I pray for us, your children, Lord. I pray that Lord, that we won't neglect the opportunities that you give us to share our faith. I pray, Lord, that we will take on board every single thing that your word teaches, but I pray that as your Holy Spirit urges us to talk to somebody, to help someone, to pray with someone, I pray, Lord, that we will have the courage to simply go and do it. To simply say, yes, Lord, here I am. I'm available. I want to serve you. I just pray these things in Jesus' name.